John chapter number 1, let's read. And this is the record of John. Verse number 19. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water.' And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.' Again the next day," day number 3, "after John stood and to his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus." Amen. Let's stop there this morning for right now. Here we find ourselves in the book of John, and as much as any, I'm not saying it's my favorite gospel, because I say that a lot, I know. But with John, when you read the words that John wrote through the Spirit, and really, I know I read this verse a lot just because I love it in my own life, in reference to not only the Gospel of John, but all of the Gospels, but especially here in John. So bear with me this morning. I'm going to read it again just because I remind myself of this, and I'll just remind you while I'm reminding me. And it's these two verses that we've gone to many times over in John chapter number 20, and says this: "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So what comes after that? "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Amen. John wrote for the purpose, just as many of the, well, what we, I guess we call them the synoptic gospels, which would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which means similar or a root of that. I guess we get our word synonym from it, because they're similar in how they're laid out in their historical format, more of a narrative as much as anything, just laying out the life of Christ. But John, maybe not as much as a narrative as it is just proof text, where John is going forth and showing the miracles and the signs that Jesus did in the presence of his disciples. He said he did many of them, which are not written in this book, but there's enough here. There's enough written in the book that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is Messiah, that Jesus is the anointed one, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I'm here to tell you this morning he was more than a man. Now I know that, you know, this is one of those situations that if we've served in the Lord for so long, of course we know that Jesus is the Messiah. Of course we know that Jesus is the Son of God. Of course we know these things, that Jesus went about to work miracles and that he was more than a man. But as we were talking last week about the foundation of the church, the foundation of our faith, this is a foundational truth this morning. When the church does away with the deity of Christ, when the church disposes and says, well, he was really just a man, and there is some people out there that will argue, well, he was this or he was that. The scripture bears witness this morning that Jesus Christ was Messiah, that he was the anointed one. He was the one that was to come. He was the one that the prophet spoke of. And so as we have this evidence that given to us throughout the book of John, John goes first off as he opened up his writings when he talked about the Word being made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That in itself has sort of some reminders of Genesis 1 and 1, when we read about the very beginning, the very beginning of this creation. Well, here John is talking about another creation. And he talks about in the beginning was the Word. He talks about the Word was with God. The Word was God. It says all these things were made by him, and without him not anything made that was made. And then he talks about how the life was made manifest, and that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld him. We beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. But here we find him bringing to the witness stand this morning, if you allow me to use that, because he finds, as we started our reading over here in verse number 19, he says this, and this is the record of John. This is the record of John. This is not the John of the writing of this letter, not the apostle John, but this is the record of one by the name of John the Baptist that came as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And so John, if you will, he brings John the Baptist to the witness stand this morning, and he sets him there, and he says, this is John's witness. This is John's testimony. He's going to lay out this evidence. He's going to lay out the case. He's going to lay out the facts. These are the facts of the case, and they are undisputed. This is the truth of God's word, that this cannot be disputed this morning, because I believe that the word of God stands sure, doesn't it, today? That as we believe that John is brought to this witness stand, the first witness, he's asked the question as any lawyer would do as they bring a witness into the witness stand. They'll say, please state your name. And so that's what we're asking here. Who art thou? And that's what happens with these, it talks about the Jews. John identifies them as when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem. So we have, John uses this phrase, the Jews, throughout his letter here, or his epistle. I think I read some 70 times. He uses it as much as anything, to describe the leadership or you hear about the Pharisees, you hear about the Sadducees, the high priest and the priests, where John in many places here throughout his writings just calls them the Jews. And so we have these Jews that are sending a group of people to find out who is this John that they've been hearing about. Who is this John that there were people that were leaving Jerusalem and the area all around about to go out into a wilderness and hear him preach? Who is this man? His popularity had grown, but I think it was Luke that talked about how all the people, he doesn't use the word anxious, but it meant the same thing, that they were getting excited about what was going on, about what was happening out there in the wilderness. And so they want to find out, who is this man, John? Well, If we allow us to do that this morning, Jesus testifies of John and later on in the Gospel of Matthew and says this of him, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John, the Baptist," or the baptizer. Now we're going to stop there for our purpose this morning. Of all those that had been born, now think about that this morning. We're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. We're talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about men such as David. We're talking about prophets such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these minor prophets. Well, Jesus testifies of John the Baptist and says, of those born of woman, and I highlighted this, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And of course, you can finish out the verse yourself there, but we won't do that for our purposes this morning, because he talks about those in the kingdom of God being greater than he. But yet, as far as this morning, we're looking at the life of John, and he says there's not one that's been born of woman greater than this man, John the Baptist. And that's Jesus saying that. And that's saying a whole lot. Think about Moses. I mean, Moses was a great man, wasn't he? Think about all the Old Testament prophets. But here we find where Jesus says there's not one greater born of a woman. Look what Peter says. Hold your place there in John chapter number 1, because we're going to come back there this morning. Look what Peter says about these Old Testament prophets and the prophecies that are given. Just for our purpose this morning, I think it's important for us to see this. It's over in 1 Peter chapter 1. You probably already know the verse that we're talking about here, just in the description. But look what he says there in verse number 10, talking about this salvation, receiving it into your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Can you follow that text with me this morning? Isn't it amazing when we talk about the Christ, we're talking about the Old Testament prophets that prophesied even hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born, before John ever became or came on the scene. And here we find these Old Testament prophets that searched and they wanted to know what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. So what spirit was it that was moving upon them? What spirit of it was it that had set upon them and caused them to bring forth the word, to write the words that we read now with Isaiah? If we look at chapter 40, when he talked about this voice that would come in the wilderness speaking the word of God, it's the same spirit that John saw descending upon Christ as a dove. Didn't say it was a dove, but it said it descended as a dove and set upon him and stayed upon him. It's the same Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings or the passions of Christ and the glory that should follow. Amen. How many are thankful for the glory this morning? There'd be no glory without the suffering. Amen. You and I that's been testifying this morning of what we have in Christ Jesus, of how you and I are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we have life, an abundant life, and we celebrate and we worship that you and I are made to worship. You and I come together this morning, just like last night, a few of us got together and went to a singing and experienced the presence of God. Amen. You might have done it in your own house, the very same thing, the same time. Why? Because of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would come after. I believe it was the Apostle Paul that talked about it that way, that Jesus, knowing, basically suffering the reproaches, for what purpose? Because of the glory that would follow. Amen. The glory that would follow. Unto whom it was revealed, verse 12, that not unto themselves, Peter writes, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Peter says it very plainly to us this morning. He says those prophets that were moved on by the Spirit, they were so excited they wanted to understand what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that set upon them was revealing to them. Peter says it wasn't unto them, but this gospel message that you're hearing preached was exactly what they were prophesying about. That Jesus would come. Amen. That there would be a forerunner. And so when we go back here to John and we find that John, as he testifies and says, we're going to bring John the Baptist here to the witness stand this morning. His name is John the Baptist. And it says here, if we'll look at how his appearance may not be exactly what we would expect to see from a witness of the Son of God. Over here in Matthew, it tells us this in Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 1. When we're looking at this man, John the Baptist, it says, verse number 1 says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Who are you? Are you the Christ? They came asking John. Are you the Messiah? Why are all these people coming out in the wilderness to hear you preach? What is it about you, John? Well, you know, you can read about John's story and his miraculous birth. I mean, even the way he came about was a miracle. His father was a priest. His mother, Elizabeth, the Bible says she was of the daughters of Aaron. And so, you know, he had some credentials. They were well stricken in age. They had never had a child. And an angel of the Lord appears to Zacharias and says, Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And of course, you know how it goes, and Zacharias, well, you know, how will I know this is true? Well, there's an angel talking to you for one thing, but I guess that wasn't enough. So it says, well, you're going to be dumb until the birth of the child. And you know the story, how it goes there, that when he come out from the presence of offering the incense, and he was operating in the ministry of the priesthood, and he comes out and he's not able to talk. He's got to write things out, or however he communicated it to them, and how that once that his wife had conceived and she bore a son, they called his name John because that's exactly what the angel had told him to do. And he said that he would come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so when we get over here into Matthew and we find him that he's dressed in this look back in, well, let's just go back to Matthew there, as we were just reading, Matthew 3. Read on a little farther, verse 4. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. So just kind of get that picture this morning. We brought John the Baptist to the witness stand. We've asked him, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you Elias that would come? He says, no, I'm not. Well, you look like him. You dress like him. You read over there, and I guess it was when the king was looking for Elijah, and they found a man that had a leather girdle on, or belt. Said, well, there he is. There's Elijah. So here comes John with that same look, if you will, and says he ate locust and wild honey. Now, don't expect me to do too much with that this morning. When you think about that type of diet, number one, first it tells me I don't know that that's what I want to eat. But it really goes back to the same thing that Jesus said when he asked him, why did you go out to hear John? Did you go out to watch a reed shaking in the wind? Did you just go out to, you know? No, you went out to hear someone that spoke the truth. Amen. You went out to hear a voice. Amen. You went to hear a voice. Now, I ain't talking about the voice in the sense that John had this great voice. You know, I was listening to a gospel singer coming in this morning and noticed it on my radio there. He brings up his name. I won't say his name because I don't want to try to be hard on the guy, but he does have a really good voice. But they call him the voice. Why? Because he's got such a unique voice. He's got a voice that I've never heard in gospel music before or since. And I'll just tell you, he looked like you want to know Russ Taff. He's got this voice. And so I remember him singing when I was young, and now he's moved into Southern Gospel. They call him the voice. Why? Because it's so unique. Well, John's called the voice. He says, I'm the voice. He wasn't saying, well, my vocals are so strong. I can say things just the right way. And he's saying, I've got a message. Amen. I'm just a man with a message. That's it. I'm nothing but a man with an unbelievable message. He says, I'm just a voice in the wilderness. And so Jesus says, why'd you go out there to hear him? He says, you know, kings are in palaces and they have soft raiment on. You went out to hear somebody with a little girl eating locusts and wild honey. Now, locusts, I did look it up a little bit just to find out what the Bible has to say about locusts. And most time, locusts consume. They're not consumable. It's usually the other way around. They consume what you're eating, not what what you eat. If it is the same type locust here, but, you know, I just got locusts to go by, so that's what I did. But here we find him eating. It seems like such a kind of a rough life, a rough existence. I could go with the honey. I'm a big honey guy, but that's also something that's just provided. It's not something someone goes out and gets for you. All throughout the Old Testament scripture, the land of promise is described as a land that floweth with milk and honey. But here we find where this is part of his diet. Look over in Matthew 17 and I'll read it. I can read it a whole lot better than I can try to quote it to you just so you can hear the words. Matthew 17 and 10, it says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you, it's the words of Jesus, that Elias is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. John, who are you? Are you Elias? No, I'm not. I'm not Elias. Well, Jesus just said you were over here, John. John was not Elias reborn. He was not Elijah resurrected, but he did come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And that's why when Jesus says, well, we heard Elias will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And Jesus said, he's already come. And they did unto them what they would. And we know, if you could read on here, how that they did take John and he was put to death. But we find here that dressed in rough clothing, Luke tells us the time of his coming. Look over in Luke. I don't think we've been long read this, but just go back one book in Luke chapter number 3. Luke chapter 3. I'm going to take on verse number 1 there. It's a tough one. It's got all those long words in, but this is that filler we looked at a few weeks back. It says, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God, here it is, all that say this, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Amen. The word of God. John, why are you doing what? John, what brought you out of the wilderness? Why'd you come out here and just start baptizing? Why'd you come out here and start preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? What brought all that on? You just moving on your own initiative? Is this something you just felt like doing? No, we find here that the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And Luke goes on a little farther with this given over from Isaiah. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought down low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Just get the picture. And I know we've tried to paint it before, but just of mountains being brought down, of valleys being built up, of a flat plain and a highway, crooked paths made straight. He says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. God with us, Emmanuel. And so here comes John preaching. He receives a word from the Lord, preaching the word, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Many came out from Jerusalem to hear him, to hear his words, to hear him preach. John bearing witness of the true light that was to come, that he was that forerunner for. He did not come with soft words. I read the words that John preached many times. When there were some that came out, it's like there are many that began to come out of the cities. And what would he say? He says, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Amen. Who told you to come out here? Who told you to come and be baptized? Look what he says over in Matthew 3. I don't know that it's written any stronger if we'll go there. It says, but verse 7, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Amen. It says, I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. Who are you, John? Are you the Christ? No, not the Christ. Are you Elias that should come? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you Elias? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you that prophet? That prophet, what does that mean when he talks about that prophet? He said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Now, I don't cut wood. I'm not a woodcutter, but I do know one thing. When you lay an axe up against a tree, something's about to get cut down. Right? There's something going to fall. And there's an axe present. And so maybe when you're getting ready to cut down a tree for whatever reason, you maybe lay that axe against a tree, put your gloves on. I'd have to do that because I got tender hands. Some of you may not have to do that, but if you're putting your gloves on, you're getting ready to swing. Why? So we've got the axe laid unto the root of the tree, maybe just kind of measuring it up even, getting ready to swing that axe to cut down that tree. He says, therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He says, I indeed baptize you with the baptism of repentance, but there's one coming after me who baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. When you think about that winnowing, moving the chaff, leaving behind that which is good and blowing away the chaff, getting it out of the way. Well, it's an idea of an investigation. But here he says, I'm not Elijah. I'm not the Christ. Are you that prophet? Now, what that was, you know, what did, I guess the argument could be made. If you look back in Deuteronomy, there's a prophecy that's given there in that book of Deuteronomy chapter number 18. All the way back to the front of the book, where it is Moses that gives this prophecy in verse 15 there, Sarah. It says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more that I die. So here the prophecy is given. It says the Lord's going to raise up a prophet. And so it's believed by most that when they asked the question of John, are you that prophet? That's what they were asking. They said, are you that prophet that was prophesied of? And of course, Peter, when he's preaching there in the first part of the book of Acts, makes it very clear to us. If you read that on your own, we don't have to do it this morning. You can find where he talks about who that prophet is. And it's Jesus. In Acts chapter number 3, you can read that on your own if you want. He says, so are you or that prophet? She said, what, okay, you're not that prophet. Let's go back to John. John chapter 1. Are you Christ? No, I'm not the Christ. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you that prophet? I'm not that prophet. Well, who are you then? We've got to give an answer. We've got someone to answer to. We've been sent here by the Sanhedrin. We've been sent here by the Jews, and they're going to want an answer from us. Who are you, John? And he just said this. He said, verse 23, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. See, who are you, John? Well, I'm son of Zacharias. I mean, my father's a priest. I mean, my parents were good parents. They were, I think one place there talks about them being blameless. They were law keepers. I'm a pretty popular preacher right now. You know, I was filled with the Holy Ghost while I was still in my mother's womb. When my mom showed up with Mary, and we greeted one another, I leaped, so excited, filled with the Spirit. That's who I am. Who are you, John? All these people coming out to hear me. I'm a pretty popular preacher. No, he didn't say that. He just said, I'm a voice. Man, I'm a voice. I'm a message. I've got a message. I've got a word. I've got the truth of God. I look at this man and just when Jesus, if you remember when Jesus came to him to be baptized, you remember he saw, he was out there in the wilderness baptizing, here comes Jesus. This is, I guess that was actually before what we're reading over here in John chapter number 1. But here comes Jesus to be baptized. Comes down in the water. There's John baptizing hundreds, probably even thousands of people being baptized. Here comes Jesus to be baptized. John's like, no, I shouldn't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. You know, I don't think he was trying to be arrogant there. I don't think he was trying to instruct the Messiah. He's just saying, now, I don't know how much he actually knew then, because until he saw that dove or the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus as a dove, because the Lord had spoke to him, said, when you see that, that's Messiah. And so he says, I should be baptized. If you kind of remember, reminiscent of Peter there in that upper room when Jesus went to wash his feet, and Peter's like, no, Lord, don't wash my feet. I should wash your feet. And Jesus said, if I wash you not, you have no part in me. That's what we see here. We find, she said, John, suffer it to be so, that the scripture, that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Now, that's another one of those phrases. But if you look what happened here, it's like the ministry of John and the ministry of Jesus reaches this crossroads right here in this water. And forever linked. We read about it this morning. We find that here they've come together. John's been in the wilderness. You know, I know they were believed to be cousins of a sense, but here we find them, you know, so many 6 months apart, maybe in their birth. It's believed to be John was born first and then Christ. But then here comes John testifying. He says, there's one coming after me that is preferred before me, because he was before me. Well, John, you got your calendar mixed up. You were born first, not Jesus. Same thing that happened there when the Pharisees that came to Jesus. Jesus had said, before Abraham was, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. Like, well, you're not even 50 years old. How could you, Abraham, see your day? How could you? You don't know Abraham. Jesus said what? Behold, before Abraham was, I am. Praise the Lord. I am. No beginning, no ending. He was present in creation. He was by him, all things were made. Without him was not anything made that was made. This is the foundation. This is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, we testify of it here. We witness of it in our own life. We have John that's bearing witness of it here. He says, I'm not the Christ. I'm not that prophet. He says, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm just a voice in the wilderness, pointing the way. Now, obviously he was there was a geographical wilderness there. He was there preaching in the wilderness. There was much more than just a geographical wilderness. Amen. There was a wilderness in the hearts of the people. And there was one coming that was going to spring forth waters, rivers of living water. I just love that picture when you think about it in the scripture. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where dryness was, now there's waters flowing. There's rivers of life. There's life-giving water. Jesus with the woman at the well. You drink the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. I mean, have you experienced that water this morning? I mean, have you experienced that in your own life? Because, well, I can testify, and I'm like John. I'm not trying to say this arrogantly, but God, thank you for the life-giving water that I've drunk from. And never thirst again. Never thirst again. Life-giving water. So I'm not that. I'm just a voice. I just have a message. I mean, the Lord has given me a word. I've received a word from the Lord. Amen. And I've got this tone. I've got this message to preach. And really, you and I this morning, how many is thankful that we have a message to preach? I think I may have quoted this before, but I was reading it this week, and it said, evangelism is just one beggar telling another beggar where to buy bread. And in reality, I know now in Christ Jesus, we're kings and priests. But in reality, we all came from the same mess, didn't we? There's no reason. I was reading it on my own this week over in the book of Titus. And the way my book, my Bible was laid out, I've got this, you know, there's a page break between here. And I was just reading it there in Titus chapter number 3. And it was just some real, just some real plain direction where Paul's talking to Titus. Says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's real practical instruction there, right? Respect authorities, be subject to magistrates, be ready for every good work, very clear. Speak of the evil of no man, to be no brawlers, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's great instruction. Well, I had to flip my page over. I flipped it over to read it a little further. I stopped there for a little while. I flipped over and it says this in verse 3. What? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Amen. Why should we be patient with the world? Why should we be long-suffering? Why should we be meek? Why should we not go around speaking evil, being harsh, being abrasive? Why should we not do that? Because you were foolish too. Amen. Whether you want to admit it or not, amen. We're just beggars showing another beggar where we found bread. We're like those old lepers at the gate. We could have laid there and died, but yet we found bread, and it wasn't of our own making. Amen. It was that God, but God. But God, right? Verse 4. But after. A little three-letter word with so much impact. Let's read it first. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You were a fool. It's every one of you here. Don't take offense to it this morning. You were disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful. You were a hateful bunch. Hating one another. Here it is. But after you picked yourself up by your own bootstraps and got things straightened out, and you were able to, you just started doing a whole lot better. You turned over a new leaf. You had New Year's resolution. You kept it, and you've done a great job. Congratulations. No, it says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That's it. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You weren't some special snowflake this morning. I don't care what they're telling you. You were just a fool. You were messed up, living in divers lusts and pleasures. But God came in, and the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Who are you this morning? We're just a voice. We're just someone that God has saved by the washing, his mercy. But whenever you hear that, you got to look out. You know, somebody comes up, oh, yeah, I really appreciate what you did. You know, you're a good guy, but it's coming. Or you could twist it around. That guy, he ain't a whole lot of good, but then they're going to say something. Well, here it is right here. You were a fool. You were living in your own lust, your own pleasure, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, who is this? John says, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. We're going to stop there this morning, but just in preparation for our next, look back in John. John 1. This chapter is really divided up into 3 days. You don't see it a whole lot in Scripture, but you can pretty much follow the 3 days here of this whole dialogue between John and those that had come to him, and even those that were around. Day one was them coming to him saying, Who are you? He's here. Day two, we read here, there he is. And day three, verse 35, follow him. Message is very similar still today, isn't he? He's come. There he is. Follow him. Amen. It's that simple, isn't it? So next time when we get together, we're going to look where, as Jesus come, the next day Jesus, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saying to him, behold, the Lamb of God. There he is. Jesus had been baptized in the River Jordan. The Bible says he was driven or led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. I believe here we find him coming back. And here he comes walking down that road again. And John preaching and says, there he is. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Let's talk about that Lamb. And we'll do that next time. This morning, let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. God, thank you for, Lord, these promises, God, this signs and wonders that's preserved for us, Lord, that we can look at them this morning and believe. And in believing, we can have life. Father, we can be saved. Thank you for making the way plain. Thank you for filling up the valleys, for bringing down the mountains, for straightening out the crooked roads. And Lord, for giving us a message. Lord, we pray that we be a voice in the midst of a dry ground. In the midst of a wilderness, Father, that we would be a voice. God, not that we would bring about our own credentials and say what we are, we're this, we're that. But Father, we've come to glorify you. Lord, that you might be all in all. Lord, that you might have first place. Lord, that you might be hallowed. First off, in our own lives, Lord, that we would set you apart and declare you to the world. God, not that they would know who we are, but that they might know who you are. God, thank you for faith. Thank you for believing. And Lord, thank you most of all for the life that we have. It is such a privilege, Lord, to serve you. Let us not forget, God, that you've brought us out. God, that we too were lost. But Lord, you've come into our life by your grace, by your mercy. God, that we not get lifted up as we declare you to the world. Lord, but we be long-suffering, that we be meek and gentle. Lord, declaring this great gospel message. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand our feet.